Remember those days of childhood, sitting out on the porch in summer, reading a good book?
Well, guess what? You can still do that. No one is stopping you. In fact, we're going to make it even easier. When you subscribe for a yearly EPP membership or renew your yearly EPP membership between now and July 15th, we will give you a free e-copy of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters, Told by Real People. All you have to do is sign up for a yearly EPP membership, upgrade to a yearly EPP membership, or renew a yearly EPP membership between now and July 15th. Email me direct, tony@realghoststoriesonline.com, and let me know you did that, and I will then personally send you an e-copy of our book for you to sit out on the porch, relax. Turn the lights off. That's kind of hard to read with the lights off. Use a flashlight or do whatever you want, really. But it's an e-copy of the book you can enjoy this summer. Check it out. Help keep us on the air and enjoy getting a free copy of the book when you sign up for a yearly EPP membership with Real Ghost Stories Online. And thanks for your support. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/ghost. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, could the entity that a baby girl sees be a positive influence on the whole family? What is the meaning behind a reoccurring nightmare that plagues a woman for months? And is something reaching out from the other side for help? Through the path of a vivid dream. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file to us. Just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at Real Ghost Stories Online. So lots of ways to get those to us. Carol Hughes joining us today for the co-hosting duties. Welcome, Carol.
Hey, my friend.
Hey. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier. We just got back from vacation. I mentioned that on the previous episode. Long car ride. We did, you know, kind of the, I didn't just make them sit on their devices the whole time. And they're pretty good about that. And the kids have phones and they've had, you know, the Game Boy and all that. But I wanted to do a lot of looking out the windows. And we did do some car games. But it was the traditional, first person to find Arkansas license plate.
Yeah, or the license.
Yeah,
game.
Stuff like that. And we're kind of sitting there going, what other car games, you know, are there? And we were kind of running not, you know, in any other ideas. And I was trying to come up with what I did as a kid, and that's really kind of it. And then you were telling me, well, what about the dead cow game?
I call it drowning cows.
Drowning cows. like the what?
I don't know. Well, and let me preface this by I am an animal advocate.
Yes.
I don't want to drown cows.
There's no one that loves animals more than you.
Right.
I've never met anyone in my life that loves animals more than you. So let's preface it that way. And yes, now share how this game works.
Well, and I don't even know where I heard about it. I heard it somewhere. And so I was taking a long trip with one of my friends. And I'm like, hey, there's this game where you count cows. But since you're driving in a car going, in my state, you can go 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like, so you just get 10 cows, 50 or 100, depending on the herd.
It's like, that's a 51
so
over
I
there.
Get my side of the car. The other person gets their side of the car. And so you count cows. And then if there's water, like big lot of water, that would drown 100 of the other person's cows.
How long does this game go on for? I mean, is it like tennis? Do you like you set it, hit a certain number, and then they're
no,
dead?
No, we played for 8 hours.
Oh God!
It's like lake, and then we'd have these big disputes. That lake could only drown 10 cows. I'm like, no, that lake is big enough to drown 50 of your cows. I'm sorry.
So
based I get to call it. It's my size.
Based on the size of the lake, that will determine how many of the cows would perish.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then you can add variations, because then, like at one point, we saw some horses, and you don't see herds of horses very often. I'm like, you know, let's add horses in. So then we added horses. We added, and like horses were really loud. It was like 500 points. Mm-hmm. And we added some sheep. They were like 500 points, because you don't see a lot of those out
and now there's
Midwest.
Points associated with these animals, too, it sounds like.
I mean, we have sheep, don't get me wrong, but it's you see a lot of cows.
Are there other hazards involved other than just the drowning? Can you be like, oh, look over there, grass fire. I think that would take out about 10, you know, or is it restricted only to the bodies of water?
We only did it with water. We did not see any grass fires. But chances are, had we seen grass fires, we would have added that back in.
I'm thinking this could get really creative and destructive at the same time.
So if you ever do it with your children, and you have darling children, make sure they know this isn't about drowning cows. This is a game about addition and subtraction.
It is. It just happens to be that will make a lovely what I did on my summer vacation report when they get
I
back.
I play drowning cows.
Get that little letter. Mr. Tony, we're kind of concerned about what you were doing with the children over the summer vacation. Would you care to share? And by the way, what do you do for a living? I tell ghost stories. Oh, God. Yeah. Child Protective Services shows up.
Oh, that makes me laugh.
Well, there you go. New car game, everybody. I've never heard of that, but obviously other people have, too. So we're probably going to get some letters going.
I heard it somewhere. I swear I did.
Yeah.
Or I just made it up. I don't remember, but I swear I heard it somewhere.
Came to you in a dream.
That could have been.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter of the day. Hey, guys. 2 years ago, my wife and I were blessed with an amazing baby girl. She's healthy and happy in every way, but has somehow brought another resident to our house. We live in a house built in 1936. It was created by a very wealthy family and has the best spot in town atop a small hill. It has all these small crooks and weird corners that were put in just to be fancy and for this family to show off their wealth. It even has a room for the maid to live in that we currently use as a downstairs guest room. We know all of this because the original paperwork somehow made it all the way to present day. We've never experienced any paranormal activity here. Well, at least not before our daughter was born. Since her birth, I've seen a small boy in the house. He seems quiet and shy, and I only see him when he peeks around corners of the house. He seems to be interested in my daughter, and I usually catch glimpses of him whenever I play with my daughter in her room. I've tried inviting him in and told him out loud that it was okay for him to join us. I don't think he wants anything other than to have a friend, so I'm not afraid of him at all. I haven't seen my daughter react to him yet, but she has sometimes waved and said, oh, hello, to thin air. Any advice on how to welcome our new resident and make him feel at home? Maybe it is already his home, but I want to make him feel welcome either way. I never thought I would live with a ghost, but this one seems really friendly. Thank you for a beautiful show, Dennis. So, Carol, how do you make the ghost boy feel more comfortable?
I don't know.
That's
a good question.
Or do you have reservations at all about the ghost boy? Obviously, he seems fairly harmless. I don't know. I mean, we've heard stories too where it kind of starts out somewhat innocent, then it kind of gets dark quickly. So I don't know.
You know how I feel about ghost kids. It makes me sad.
Yeah.
But I think there's a weird line that you cross if you you invite anything like that in too far, especially when you have a little kid. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would. I think, I'm just weird. I'll just talk to, like, you're going to leave my daughter alone. And but I would seriously have a conversation. Like, you can watch, but not too close. Because I don't know that I'd want to encourage that either.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
But I like the fact that he feels safe.
I like that too. I'm on the same page as you. There were like it's at arm's length. He seems to be already there. Seems to already maybe it is his home and he's playing around. But I think you're kind of asking for you don't know what you're asking for is what I should say. If you're going to try and invite it to come a little bit closer, because you don't know exactly what's going on there or what it is, why it's there. Hopefully it is just something innocent and nothing malicious or negative. But again, that's a question you probably don't want to have answered.
And I'd actually rather the little boy go the other direction.
Yeah.
It's like you need to cross into the next realm. And because it makes me always so sad to hear about kid ghosts.
You know, I agree. What is that? But I wonder sometimes, especially with the amount of the interviews that I've done with the Grave Talks in the last year, some of my thinking has changed on that, where there's so often we on this side feel the urge to say to the whatever entities are over there, okay, it's time for you to cross over and you should go over here and go to your happy place. Half the time I'm wondering when it's something like this and they're at the house or they're at a hotel or they're at whatever and they seem relatively not angry, but just kind of at peace, kind of being mischievous, just being themselves. Maybe they're already at the place they want to be at.
I've never really thought about it like that.
Maybe they are where they want to be, and it's us that are kind of intruding. And that's very much a living assumption of, well, you need to go to another place. They're already over there. and maybe they're like, well, that's lovely that you think that way. But here I am. I'm here. I'm good. Maybe it's you that needs to make the peace with me, not vice versa. I don't know, it's just because you hear so many stories of these people, sometimes very troubled, or spirits seem very troubled, but honestly, more times than not, when I'm expecting to hear, oh, these troubled spirits that should move on, seem very content with where they're at, whether it be a hotel, whether it be a former institution of sorts, whether it be somebody's house. Very often, they seem to just kind of have it, they're where they want to be, and...
Yeah, but Tony, seriously, I don't ever want to get stuck in an Econo Lodge for my entire afterlife.
That would really suck. I mean, the only as long as you can enjoy a nice continental breakfast in the morning as a ghost, then maybe it's okay, as long as the waffle maker is in working order.
But you're a ghost. You can't even eat it. You're just watching people enjoying it.
That's true. And that would be one of the worst parts of standing around breakfast cookery.
It's like, if only I could have a waffle.
Yeah. It's like, that bacon smells lovely, but I can't have any of it. Yeah. Yeah. That would be...
I don't think I would encourage the little ghost to come in any farther.
I agree.
You know, it's like... I respect that you want to be here and we're cool with that. But, you know, we've got a little baby and we don't want to scare the baby. Mm-hmm. And just be aware of that.
Yeah, I think it's just polite and you kind of keep your distance. Everybody can cohabitate, but it doesn't need to get any more in-depth than it already is. Hey, for a minute here, let's talk about Blue Apron. I've been loving these guys. I've been using Blue Apron for years, even well before they were a supporter of Real Ghost Stories online. They deliver farm-fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your door. Even if you're not someone who prides yourself or thinks of yourself as someone who can cook in the kitchen, trust me, you can do it with Blue Apron. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, and they achieve it. That's the reason why they are just so darn popular. All different meal plans for you, whether it's a two-person meal plan, a family meal plan, even a wine plan. They have options for everybody, and some awesome recipes. In fact, new recipes every single week. You get to choose them on the website or on the app, and then they show up at your door. It's reliable. It's delicious. It's a great way to spend some time at home and cook. And these are easy to prepare, not super time-consuming recipes where it's going to take you hours on end or anything like that. No, a lot of these can be done within an hour. A lot of them even faster than that. So you got to check it out for yourself. Blue Apron offers 12 new recipes every single week. Customers, you can pick 2, 3, 4 recipes based on whatever fits your schedule. And you can adjust it as well. So if you got a vacation coming up, if the kids are out of school right now and you want to spend some more time at home, or maybe you're doing less at home because the kids are out of school right now, everybody's schedule gets kind of crazy in summer. Blue Apron works with you. Check out this week's menu. Get your first 3 meals free at blueapron.com/ghost. blueapron.com/ghost to get your first three meals free. blueapron.com/ghost. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. 855-853-4802 is our number. Next letter says, when I was younger, I was plagued by the same reoccurring dream every night for months. It was always the same, and I'd wake up in the same blood-soaked van with my face slashed and beaten. And every night I would try to escape, only to be hunted and caught by the same hooded figures and stabbed with needles. I'd even awaken feeling sick and out of it. Every night it was the same. There were always at least seven figures. I recall the terror I felt every time I'd see them chasing me, not running, but gliding closely to the ground menacingly. I knew the area and the dream was the area the dream was taking place as very well, as it took place in an old field about a 10-minute drive out of town. The dreams made me jumpy and irritable. It wasn't until my grandfather's passing that I made an odd to my family change in faith. See, I was raised kind of non-practicing Christian Mormon up until this time, when something spoke to me inside as well as a few odd signs throughout that day. Well, I'll go into detail about those aside from the ravens everywhere I went. I dedicated myself to the old Norse gods. When sleep came that night, the dream started the same. I held no fear on the seat next to me, and I found a sword. Odd, I know. I left the van and began to make my way back to town, as I always tried, but again, I felt no fear, even when I found them chasing me. I cut down the first one, and I ran, and I saw that I was moving faster, and had made it back to the town, where I broke into a building, calling for help, but no answer. They also broke into that building and quickly surrounded me, but I still felt no fear and soon became confident when they began to back off, when I was joined up by a pair of giant wolves. Anyway, I've been dragging on, but ever since that night, I haven't had the dream, nor have I been haunted by those figures again. I want to know what y'all think about and what it means. Thanks. I'm still a follower and very proud of it. So what do you make of the dream? Is this anything paranormal, or is this kind of like coming to a realization and coming to, you know, overcoming some sort of anxiety or fear?
I don't know. For me, it feels more like a stress dream.
Yeah.
But the fact that you keep having the same dream, I never have the same dream more than once.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that then it all turns around and he's able to conquer it through his... But he could have, you know, through his other actions.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's more so an empowering. It's a realization of some sort. And that's kind of where I feel this ends. But at first I was wondering, you know, you're in this field and it's kind of near town. I was almost wondering, you know, is he getting some sort of a message from somebody that was... had something happen to them out in this field on the edge of town, and they want to get the message across, because that has happened before. But the way it all kind of wrapped up, and kind of a new chapter in life almost beginning there, I'm thinking it might have just been more of an internal thing of...
Because I'm not an expert on dreams by any means.
Sure.
But to me, it's like you're trying to get someplace where there's all these things that are preventing you from getting to where you want to be in life.
Yeah.
And then he finds a new path in real life that empowers him.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's what it was. And our mind works in strange ways sometimes, as far as its imagery and how it presents itself.
My dreams are like I'm on acid or something sometimes. Like, I have the craziest dreams.
Care to share? Or?
Not right now.
Okay. We'll just leave it at that. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hello, just started listening to your podcast on Spotify this week. I love the work you guys do. I plan to become an EPP soon. So I have a good amount of stories to tell you, and you guys are the first I'm revealing much of this. The story I'm going to share now is very recent, within the last 3 months. A little about myself to offer understanding. I don't really believe in ghosts, although I do love ghost hunting, and my history says I should believe in them. I don't think I'm sensitive, nor do I know how to find out safe. Anyway, so back to my story. My fiance and I live in a small upstairs apartment with our two dogs. The downstairs is a lawyer's office. The upstairs are apartments. One has been empty for about 8 months now, and in our bedroom is a door that exists into a hallway that goes directly to a locked door to the other apartment, and down a hallway to the roof of the garage with no roof access otherwise. Our door stays locked as well. So one night we were all sleeping at about 3:30 a.m. when we were startled awake by three sharp and loud knocks in the hall door. After a second of waking up, I opened the door to an empty hallway. All the doors in that hall opened very loudly, and they were all closed but ours. So if anyone knocked, they should have been in that hallway. After calming down, we just wrote it off and went back to sleep. After that, about one to three times a week still, we started having the knocking. Started having dreams involving ghosts, not for the first time in my life. The first after this incident in my dream, my fiancé and I are lying in bed, and a woman with short blonde hair, a blue button-down short-sleeve shirt, and brown skirt just walked into our room. At first, it was okay. It's a dream, after all. But the woman's face was shrouded in shadows. She grabbed my left leg and said, "Alone, alone, I'm so alone." And I started to shake my leg to make her release, then woke up still shaking my leg. The dream and each like it have been very real. The next day, I asked my fiancée if she had talked while I was asleep. She said she had no idea what I was talking about, and I believed her. She seemed confused about it, too. Another dream later, another lady in the dream, brown hair, red shirt, and blue jeans, said, "Michael, I'm right here. I need help." Sounded like it was right in my ear in real life. Not all of these dreams involve talking, but the people that are interacting with me in these real frightening dreams, I'm positive, are dead. Like I said, I don't believe I'm sensitive, but I do trust that what my gut tells me. I'd love to hear your opinions on this. Anyway, enjoy your podcast. Hopefully I can listen to my story someday. Keep up your incredible work. It's one of those things where you have buildings, apartments, or, you know, a lot of people have come and gone over the years, and the stories and the things that have happened, and you just don't know what has occurred. But I would imagine something not so positive.
Oh, absolutely. Like the knocking on the door thing, that like, so if he doesn't think he's as sensitive, he's hearing something knocking on his door.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of times it's kind of back to dreams. I'm no expert, but I do think that that's when you get a lot of that interaction.
Sure.
Because that's when you're more open to it.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of times where things do come to you in dreams. You just don't recognize it that way.
And it's just a matter of sometimes, can the dots be connected in real life, in the living, to validate what's going on with the dreams? And sometimes it can. I guess what would need to be done there is some research on the property, on the area, and if there's anything that had occurred in that area. It may not be news that you necessarily want to hear, but it may answer your question of what's going on there. Remember when I first moved to Wichita, the first thing, it was so bizarre. Every place I went for like the first day or two was met with a story of tragedy. And I'm not even kidding. The apartment I moved into, I go over to the Best Buy to get a washer and a dryer to get sent over to get hooked up. First thing that they say to me, like when I told them the apartment I was moving into, or the complex I was moving into, "Oh, did they ever find the head?" First thing they say to me. I'm like,
how do I not remember that story from when you moved?
Like the head. And and I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah. And they're like, "Are you from here?" I'm like, "No, I've been in town for like literally at that point about 14 hours. And like, "Oh, well, yeah, a woman got decapitated over there, and they think the head went in the lake, but they never found her."
I do remember that story.
This is
now,
like 15 years ago now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, my God." And luckily, I mean, there's no luckily, I guess, to any of this other than the fact that I found out I wasn't in the building where it happened, but I had to do, I think, some Yahooing at the time because I don't think Google was really a thing yet. But I Yahooed the apartment and found out what unit it was in, and it was not mine. And like, okay, well, that's good. Not good for the lady, but I was happy I wasn't, the stains on my carpet were not of hers. And then a couple moments after that, within the next couple of days, I would be going out to different things, seeing the town, going to the radio events and such. And I just kept hearing, it wasn't just like, oh, hey, welcome. Like, hey, there's a great taco restaurant down the road or this or that. It was always like, oh, hey, right up there, there was a sniper once that was picking people. I'm like, what?
Holiday Inn.
Yes. And it was then other than murder stories and this, and there was just so many. I'm like, what is going on here? And it was really funny because after that week, the story stopped. But it was like the first thing I got was all these kind of dark things where I'm like, I guess I'm informed.
And I'm with you too on sometimes I don't know that I want to know, because mm-hmm. I think if you know more, then you're kind of going to open yourself up more to that. And I don't know.
There was not one day that I ever was able to like drive through town and not like glance in some direction and be like, oh, there's where that tragedy happened, or that's where that serial killer did this or that. It's like, oh my God. Like,
I live 3 blocks away from a BTK house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and it's not a bad city. It's just it's funny how you know, just those little snippets that once you get the information to you, there's no erasing it. I guess my point there is, if you want to look into it, go ahead and look into it, but just know there's no going back once you find out whatever is going on.
Especially the one who is alone.
Yes.
Who he was talking about.
Yeah.
That one, I'm sorry you're alone. Yeah. Feel bad about it.
Exactly. So proceed with caution, I guess, would be my advice. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to the caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Corrine from Las Vegas again. I first want to apologize to you guys. I had called in a story, and I was looking for it and skipping around, couldn't find it, and so I sent in an audio file because I also realized I had left out some details of my story. And then yesterday, you guys took my call on Facebook Live, and so we chatted about the same story, and a guy was commenting that he had heard it before, and lo and behold, the one episode that I skipped and didn't check was the one that you guys aired my first original phone call on. So I just wanted to apologize because you heard it like a month ago and then I called again last night and I didn't realize that it had already been played. So thank you for that, though. That was exciting. My daughter was really excited. I know that you have a lot of stories, but in case you remember, we were the ones that my daughter and I have a very strong connection. She woke me in my sleep, though it wasn't her, to go check on her, and she had a really high fever. Grandpa Ghost used to watch her in her room when she was a baby. And the fate morphed kind of a thing into an evil thing. And anyway, that's the old story. I wanted to call with a couple stories that I had from my friends. Because I don't think I called them in, but I don't honestly remember. One of them was a friend who had 2 little girls. And one of them was about 4 years old, and one of them was a baby. She was about 8 months old. And they shared a room. They had a crib and a toddler bed that came together at the corner. And then at another corner of the room was their hamper. And so we are all connected through our husband's law enforcement job. So her husband was working nights, and she doesn't believe in ghosts at all. Now she does. But up until then, she thought it was a... No, that just didn't happen. And there was explanations for everything. So anyway, her husband's working one night. She's got put her girls to bed. She goes to sleep. And in the middle of the night, her 8-month-old starts crying. And so she said that she wakes up and she's like, okay, let's call the baby Mary. Okay, Mary, I'll go get you. And hold on a second. And she said, I know I was awake because she got up, she went to the restroom, she turned on the light, and the whole time Mary's crying. And she's like, Mary, I'll be right there. Hold on. You're going to wake up, sister. So she goes, it wasn't like she was out of it or anything. She was wide awake. And so she finishes her business in the restroom, and she goes to get Mary. And the bedrooms are right next to each other. Like, you can't look at the other one without seeing anything cross in front of you if it were to cross. So she walks into her girl's room, and she sees her older daughter, who just has this massive head of black curly hair, beautiful hair, and she sees her older daughter, we'll call her Sarah, sitting on top of the hamper. And she's like, "Sarah, what are you doing over there? Get to bed. It's the middle of the night." And her daughter, who was always very obedient, didn't even look up at her. She had her head down. She's swinging her legs, sitting on the hamper. The hair is over her head. And so my friend was like, "Sarah, get back to bed. Like, did you wet the bed? What's going on?" And she wouldn't answer her. So she grabs Mary out of the crib, and she turns around and she tells Sarah, "I'm going to be back to deal with you in a minute. Get back in your bed. If you didn't pee in it, get back in it, and I'll be back to deal with you." Walks out of the bedroom, straight into her room, and immediately sees Sarah laying in her bed, in the mom's bed, passed out, completely asleep. And my friend's like, she couldn't have been in her bedroom because, like I said, the doors are right next to each other. It's not like she ran in there in front of her and she didn't notice. And she goes, and she was passed out. So she gets over to her bed and she's laying her baby Mary down in the bed, and she's like looking at Sarah like, "How in the hell? I just saw you over there in your room on your hamper." And she said that's when it hit her that Sarah was wearing a nightgown to bed, still had her nightgown on, and my friend said, and the little girl in the hamper was wearing pajama pants and a shirt. And she said, I was like, "Well, did you go back in and check?" And she goes, "No, I was terrified." So she just crawled back in bed and laid there and listened. And, you know, she had both her girls in bed with her. And, you know, can't call the husband. They were federal law enforcement, so they're out in the desert. They don't have signals or anything. And I lived on the next block. I'm like, "You should have called me. Like, oh, my goodness." And ever since that day, she believes in ghosts. She's like, "I know it wasn't anything. There was no tricks of the light." She goes, "That was legit my daughter sitting there swinging her legs on the hamper. Like, I don't know how else to put it." And so after that day, she worked from home, never had a problem. But after that day, she would get creeped out a lot in her home when she would take the girls to daycare and she'd be working. She said that she no longer could have her back to the living room. And she would start hearing stuff, but never did she hear anything or see anything until that little girl. So I wonder why that little girl was there and why it took the form of her own daughter. And she said that when she got out of bed to go to the restroom, she just must not have noticed that Sarah had been laying next to her for the whole time. She just, you know, woke up and flopped the covers over and got up going to the restroom, didn't think to check to the left of her to see that her daughter was there because she didn't think she would be there. So that story's always creeped me out because it turned a huge non-believer into a believer, and I don't understand why that ghost would have shown itself. And although she heard things every now and again around the house, she never saw anything else. I will say that it ended up being a pretty bad relationship that nobody really knew about, to the point where she packed her bags and hid them at our house. And my husband and I had to help her kind of sneak off during the day with her kids and her suitcases because the husband apparently was hitting them, all three of them, and nobody knew. So I don't know. It wasn't long after she saw that little girl ghost that she ended up, I guess, escaping, and they got divorced. But as far as I know, she never saw anything again after that one night. So that story's always stuck with me. And I have another one, but I will call back with that one. I love your guys' podcast. I became an EPP, I think the same night that I sent my audio file in with my first story, and I've been loving it ever since. So thanks for all that you do, and hope to hear the story on air. Bye, guys.
What do you make of that? Do you think the ghost had anything to do with the leaving of the husband and going and kind of saving their lives that way?
I don't know. I was thinking the same thing as I was listening to that. Because, I mean, why couldn't a ghost take on any sort of appearance that it wants to?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out the connection there between, you know, this event happening and then that happening. And maybe there is no connection between the two. Maybe they're just two very dramatic events that occurred back to back. You know, or is there something? I don't know what the connection would be there. Is there anything standing out to you?
I don't know, because you've heard of people who are abused kind of having like an out-of-body experience.
Sure.
Like, like really horribly abused. And I don't know if the child was, but I mean, what would be the reason that the mom would see that apparition of her own daughter?
Yeah, being right there and then having that the realization of, oh my God, no, the daughter's right over here. That was not my daughter that I saw.
Yeah.
Was there anything in there, and maybe I'm missing it, was there anything in there of the apparition that she saw of the daughter? Did she get into any detail on visually how the daughter looked? Did the daughter look normal? Did the daughter look harmed? Did it just kind of like passing?
Well, the way she kind of described it was more like the child was not, was maybe sad, if anything, like looking down, and she couldn't really see like just all the hair.
Just kind of there, yeah.
You know, and in her jammies, but not the jammies she was actually in.
Sure. Yeah, I'm wondering if there is a correlation between the two events or not. But that, nonetheless, I mean, someone who would not believe in ghosts, and then suddenly you have a moment like that. I can see how that can be a very kind of life changing. Of okay, no, there's no question about this. That I definitely did see something, and I know it was not my daughter.
Well, that's what happens, because you can say you don't believe in ghosts until something happens that you can't there's no other explanation for it.
Yeah. And it can't be washed away. Well, it was the light. It was a shadow. Yeah. It was a, no, when it gets that specific, you know, sometimes you have to accept it. And sometimes people do accept it. Sometimes people still make excuses. But I think deep down, if you have a moment like that and you still don't want to quite accept it, I think you still probably kind of accepted it. It's just too difficult to deal with to talk about, you know, because it's such a you know, dramatic thing. There you go. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Not only did we learn about ghost stories today, we also learned about how to play Drowning Cows. So add that to your road trip repertoire.
That's going to be a popular road trip game this summer.
It's going to sweep the country by storm. So if you like the show, become an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to more than 200 EPP bonus episodes of the program at ghostpodcast.com. All right. Until next time, thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.